Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Brewers fans, thank you for making the switch after the last pitch to this show. Welcome to the Bayview Shade and Blind Baseball Postgame Show, presented by the Milwaukee Admirals. We are hashtag MilHockey. Now, live from the Fan Postgame Studios, here's Jeff Orlowski and the franchise, Tim Allen.
Final from Atlanta, and the results are not good. It is a Brewers 4-3 loss. It does go to extras, and I think I'm going to throw up again. Wow. Okay, welcome, everybody. It's a Bayview Shade and Blind postgame show presented by the Milwaukee Admirals. We are hashtag MilHockey, Tim Allen, and the Polish Pipe Bomb, Jeff Orlowski, as the Brewers fall in 10. 4-3 and a sort of a crushing defeat in this sense. You were this close to winning this baseball game. This close to winning this game. Guys, come on. What happens to you guys with runners in scoring position? Seemingly a loss late in the game. You couldn't get anything going offensively. You only had one base runner from the third through the ninth. That's where it starts right there. Your pitching was good enough, well, good enough to win a baseball game tonight, but you just felt that since the home run was given up, in the seventh inning, you just felt, okay, or I'm sorry, sixth inning, the infamous sixth inning in Atlanta series, because that's what this is all about. Last night, the sixth inning, tonight, the sixth inning. And you just didn't feel right, but all, hey, man, you look up at the scoreboard, you're just a run down. You can get a run, right? I mean, you can get a run, and they did. They not only got a run in the ninth inning to tie it up, but you get the bases loaded with still just one out. And Ryan Braun, who's having a really good month of May, and, it didn't happen. Moustakas couldn't come through with a two-out base hit to plate the lead run. And you go into the bottom of the ninth where Josh Hader pitches a scoreless ninth inning. And right there, you could have had it. Brawny, get the ball in play. Or, hey, man, lay down a bunt if you have to. Do anything to get a run in and steal that game. They had an absolute opportunity to steal this baseball game. And same old song and dance. I mean, you could say that they've been playing up to snuff in the road trip here. They are losing in the road trip now, 4-5 in this 10-gamer. They got a chance to bail out and go 5-5 in a tough road trip. Don't get me wrong. Chicago, Philly, and now Atlanta. But, man, you were right there. Wow. 414-799-1250 if you want to comment on this one, because this one's sort of a crusher because you thought you were going to win this game. What happens to these guys when they get traffic on the base pass lately?
They pucker up, Timmy. It, just bad at-bats. We were talking about it off the air. There were a couple horrible at-bats by Ryan Braun there. In the ninth inning, you've got guys in scoring position. You got Braun up, and he strikes out. And then you've got Moose up. You got two of your veterans, and you expect one of them to deliver for you, and you come up empty again. And, they tied it up. They brought it to extra innings, but they should have sat there and been able to put that dagger in the ninth inning, and it hurts more because the Cubs lost today, and you could have made up ground.
Things were good early in this game. The Brewers did get on the board in the first inning. Leadoff double by Lorenzo Cain. After a yell at strikeout, Braun draws a walk. He is erased on a fielder's choice. By Moustakas. Moustakas moves to second on a steal. And Zeus comes through with a two-run single right there, and that's cool. It's two-zip. Chase Anderson They had a chance for more. Yasmani Grandal doubles second and third with two in, but they don't get any more. But that's good right there. Two zip. Stays two zip into the third as the Brewers get the first two men on. Second and third with nobody out. One out later, intentional walk. With one out, Keston Hira strikes out. And then a ground out. There you go. You had the bases loaded with one out in the third. Bases loaded with one out in the ninth inning and couldn't get the run in. It's that simple.
National Baseball Insider Seth Everett.
You got to start hitting better with runners in scoring position. Key moments of games, man. They are moments. Wouldn't you know it, after the Brewers squander that opportunity in the third inning, Braves right to work in the bottom of the third. Well, is it the Braves sort of right to work? Chase Anderson, a leadoff two-base error by Moustakas, starts that bottom of the third, then a walk. Then Chase gets Freeman to fly out. And then on a 2-2 pitch to Donaldson, I don't want to get back into the umpiring, but it appears to me that the home plate area is about the size of a postage stamp, because Chase had a strikeout to Donaldson right there. He should have been rung up. He ends up walking him. So now, you know, the bases are loaded here, guys, by an error and a couple of walks. Okay, one out. You're trying to get out of this thing, a punch out or a pop-up or a double play ground ball. Let's do it now. Next batter lines to Braun. And Braun, instead of just throwing it to the cut, just throw to the cut, man. You got what you wanted right there. An opportunity, play the infield back. Bases are still loaded. Nobody's in yet. Two men are out. Brawny tries to be bigger than the room and throw behind the base runner at second base.
Just an absolute horrible decision.
He tried to be smart enough, too smart for the area, because here's what, this is the only thing I can think of, what was going through his mind. The base runner at third, he ain't going on me. I'm the left fielder. I wasn't that deep when I caught this. There's no way he's going. You know what? I'm going to try and deke him. And then I'm going to second. And all of a sudden, Acuna, he just said, thank you. You're going to second. I'm going home. That turned out to be a key play in this game. It made it 2-1 in that third inning. And again, it always seems to work out that way, guys, doesn't it? Where you squander an opportunity in your half of the inning, and the very next inning, it sort of gives the other guys momentum. That's crazy how it works that way. Chase then gets out of that inning with a strikeout, but neither team scores in the fourth inning or the fifth inning. Matt Albers, a scoreless bottom half of the fifth. I'm thinking good. Five pitches. Matt Albers, good. Might want to start fresh with a nice fresh inning, clean inning for your next reliever. Matt Albers walks the leadoff man in that sixth inning. And then Council goes to his pen and starts playing some bullpenning right there. Albers with the leadoff walk. Council then goes to Alex Claudio. And then he strikes out Markakis to start his outing, but then gives up a two-run home run. Ouch. Braves lead 3-2 at that point. Claudio then gives up a double. He goes out to the pen again, Council does, and goes to Jeffress. And Jeremy gets the gets a ground ball and a strikeout to get out of that sixth. Brewers with a chance in the seventh. A leadoff walk by Arcia moves over on a wild pitch. Nobody out. Kane strikes out. Yelich grounds out. Braun strikes out. 3-2 to the bottom of the seventh. JJ, a scoreless bottom half, just gives up a two-out double to the eighth at 3-2. Junior Guerra, a scoreless eighth inning, almost gave up a run, but Yelly, with a gun down of a runner at the plate, saves Junior Guerra and saves the Brewers at that point, 3-2, into the ninth inning. The Brewers do get the run there. Keston Hira leads off that inning with a hit-by-pitch, and the Brewers do get some ultimately the run, Lorenzo Cain, but bases loaded and one out. And they can't figure it out with Ryan Braun. What a pivotal moment in that game. both in the third inning, bottom half, where Braun goes to second instead of just the cut, and then Braun can't get the ball in play in the ninth to plate the lead run and then unleash Josh Hader in the bottom half.
Yeah, it was tough to watch, man. It was tough to watch. Bases loaded, you just talked about it. You know, one out and you only score one. And, you know, just a kick in the gut.
Ryan Braun, for as good as he's been doing this year, this month, I should say, I got to say that's the, are you kidding me, moments of the game. Both brawny, defensively and offensively. You hate to put it onto one at bat, but I'm going to do that tonight. Are you kidding me, moments, brought to you by Gene Wagner Plumbing, a company you can trust. Check them out at GeneWagnerPlumbing.com. They fall tonight in 10. This is the third consecutive Saturday night that the Brewers have gone into extras. 2 weeks ago, it was 18 innings. A week ago, it was 15 innings. I seriously thought we were going to go 12.
I did too. I was here for the 18. I was here for the 15. I just figured that it was going extras again. I didn't expect it to be over in the 10th. I didn't think that Hader was going to serve up that long ball.
No.
But, you know, I didn't, at the time, I didn't expect them to come back from down 3-2 either. So, you know, with the way that their offense was not performing, and it just, I wasn't feeling it. And then they sat there and they put together that nice comeback in the 9th, and then they couldn't push around the go-ahead run. It's just a letdown, Tim. I feel more defeated tonight than I did after last night's ass-whooping.
Yeah, the whooping last night, I mean, you can kind of deal with that a little bit at times. And I've said that over the years, Jeff, that you can kind of deal with those because those are going to happen. It's these here that there's moments in these games and it always figures it's – well, obviously, it's against good teams, and you want to win, but it just figures Atlanta's been full of these types of games over the last 5 or 6 years. It just seems like that's been a nightmare for the Brewers. Have Sam check. Sam Schmitz is here behind the glass over there. Sammy, check on what the Brewers' record is in Atlanta the last, I don't know, 3, 4, 5 years. Let's see what's going on, because it doesn't appear that it's been real good. Go back 5, 6 years even. You go back to the Will Smith deal going on down there, that he had some pine tar or whatever on his forearm. You remember that?
Oh, yeah.
And then you go into, I want to say it was Ron Renneke that called for a pitcher that wasn't even up in the game. I mean, it's just things like that it just always seems like it's Atlanta. 799-1250. It's a letdown tonight for sure. How let down are you? I'll live. I mean, obviously, we're all going to live. But this is one, and these are games here, man, that you should steal right there. You should get them. You keep thinking that the offense is going to do it for you. You keep thinking that, and I thought about this tonight. There was an inning tonight in which they had a leadoff. I think it was the Arcia inning that he got on base to lead off the inning. It was like a Lorenzo Cain strikeout, Yelich ground out, Braun strikeout, and you're like, oh, well, there goes the better portion. And it is, don't get me wrong, better portion of the order. Nah, they're screwed. And then you look at the next inning, your first three to bat in the inning is Mike Moustakas, Jesus Aguilar, and Yasmani Grandal. And you're like, oh, okay. You know what I mean? Just the names are like, you got a just as good a chance as any portion of your lineup here. That's the way I think. Just based on the offensive lineup that they put together, is the offense to your expectations coming into this season?
Not yet. You know, we've seen we've seen flashes. We saw Yasmani red hot at the beginning of the season, and now he's tailed off and he's hitting under 260. You know, you've seen these guys hot. Lokane is hot again. Yelich, he's been hot the whole season. Ryan Braun goes back and forth from red hot to ice cold. You know, but you don't see it where there's three or four guys cooking at the same time. And the Brewers aren't putting up the six, you know, ish 5 to 7 runs a night that I expected when I looked at this lineup that they were throwing out there every day.
Yeah, I agree with you that I don't think it's been a nightmare offensively, but I think a little under what I expected. Just a little bit under what I expected. And by the way, Keston Hira, I don't know, after the start, it seems, and again, it doesn't surprise me, young hitters are overmatched at times. And he looks, at times, a little overmatched. He's getting an education in the big leagues, that's for sure. 799-1250 before break here, we'll get Rick in. Rick, you're on the Fan. What's happening?
Yeah, thanks for taking my call, Tim. It's not so much the idea of losing, it's how they're playing. Sloppy. No energy. They're not thinking. You know, and you've got a guy up at the plate in the ninth inning that didn't even have to put a bat on the ball. All three swings were balls. That was an easy walk in the lead run. You got to make the guy throw a strike. He didn't have to.
Yeah, Brawny was swinging at the cheese, that's for sure.
He was.
And my idea, they need to look at themselves. Somebody needs to step up in that clubhouse and say, look, guys, we got to start playing better. And somebody's got to take charge there and say, and rally everybody around the net or do something, because they don't seem to be into it.
I don't know. I don't know. Man, Rick, that's a good point. Thanks for the call, Rick. I do appreciate it. I don't know if it's no life, no energy type thing. I don't think so. I really don't. I just think in key moments of games, we go back to this. This might be the theme of the retrospective at the end of the day, at the end of the year, here this year. It might be moments. That might be the subtitle of the 2019 championship season. It's moments in a baseball game that you don't know when they're occurring. Sometimes you do know it, and you feel it. And this is a moment in this game. This game's going to tip right here. And everyone knows it. Both sides, the fan base, anybody watching. But there's other times you don't really realize it. Third inning, when Braun tries to, I don't know why, throw a back pick on somebody on really a goal that you just achieved, Chase, and got the fly ball he needed, the shorter fly ball, and you got that. And you tried to, I don't know, be too cute and too cool and go to Hollywood and wear sunglasses and look cool and lay on Malibu Beach, Ryan Braun.
Yeah. Yeah, you know, the moment thing is definitely right. You know, we've seen the pitching staff up and down, you know. They're both like roller coaster rides.
But dude, I don't think it's life. I don't think it's lack of energy. I really don't. I don't think it's that. I think they're still having fun. Watch the Zach Davies interview.
Well, yeah. You know, I don't think it's lack of energy either. I do think that both roller coasters, they haven't reached the apex at the same time this year. And for the Brewers to, you know, still have the record that they have and everything like that is still phenomenal. For what they've done and who
27-21.
Yeah, for what they've done and who they've played, I think that's fantastic. You know, if I had to blame either pitching or hitting for the majority of those 21 losses, I'm going to turn my blame on the hitting.
Maybe. I would say that it's a couple of wins. It is. It's a few wins. So
absolutely.
Even if it's two, man. I mean, think about it. 29-19, there'd be 10 over. It's as simple as that. That people look at they oftentimes will say that there's 162 games in baseball. What's a couple of wins? Come on.
Hey. All count the same, man. And
they're big.
You know, the people that say that wins mean more in September than they do in April, dead wrong.
Oh, yeah, we dispelled that the last couple of years. I think we've all been educated. We all understand that it can come down to one win. But it's just a wild situation when you know you can steal one, and it was there. The moments, yeah, they were there tonight. 414-799-1250. Sort of a disheartening late a late loss that you first you thought it was a loss, then you're thinking, okay,
it's going to be a win.
Yeah, and then you're like, okay, now you got to hang on. What were you going to do after Josh Hader? I want to get to that after the break. This is a classic example of why David Stearns is hearing a clock tick really loud, really, really loud. And I'll explain that in just a bit. Spark of the game in this one brought to you by Current Electric. I'm going to say it's Keston Hira.
Yeah, hey, man. That was one huge hit by pitch, brother.
It really was, though.
I'm not kidding.
Okay. All right. You're with me on that. All right. Very good. Spark of the game, Keston Hira is hit by pitch in the ninth inning to start a one-run rally. Okay. It was a big run, though. They tied the ball game up in the ninth. Josh Hader with a scoreless bottom half. But, yeah, Hader got hurt. Are you sure that was the first pitch? That was the first pitch, right?
Yep.
Okay. The word is out, Josh, Yasmani, both you two knuckleheads. The word is out on Josh Hader's first pitch of a sequence. The word is out. Stop this. I'm going to throw my best stuff, and he's going to try and hit my best stuff. Stop that. Waste a pitch. Knock it off. This goes back to last year, too.
Always the heater.
Always. Who's not looking first pitch fastball, dead red, swing for the fences, especially in a walk-off situation?
Well, with the way that he's throwing his pitches this season, you don't have to look at anything except you go up there just staring for the heater. And then you're just – all you got to do is pick the placement that you want it, and you try to put a good swing on it and see if you can catch up. But you know what's coming.
He gets hurt on first pitches, guys. He went through it last year, too. Go look at it. Those of you that want to do a little research, go into the game logs. Believe me. We've talked about it before, but wow. All right, 799-1250, Baby Shade and Blind postgame show presented by the Milwaukee Admirals. We are hashtag MilHockey. Tim Allen, Jeff Orlowski, Sam Schmitz is here. Yeah, feeling a lot better. Guys, I know the flu's coming around. I'm not going to cry the blues. You guys know exactly what it's like. And this made it just a little bit worse. 10 innings, 4-3, Brewers fall.
Was it a moonshot or a big line drive? Let's get today's Wrench and Go drive of the game. Need auto parts? Wrench and Go is a self-service yard. Bring your own tools and access the lowest priced auto parts around. This is the Bayview Shade and Blind Baseball Postgame Show, presented by the Milwaukee Admirals on 105.7 FM, The Fan.
Yeah, a tough one tonight as the Brewers fall in 10-4-3, the final, and Wrench and Go drive of the game. Do we want to get to Ryan before we get to this?
Yeah, let's go to Ryan.
It. He's been on hold a while. Ryan, what do you say? This is a tough one.
Yeah, I want to know when does the blame go on the hitting coach? I mean, this guy, he came from the Cubs, and the Cubs weren't hitting last year. And now the same thing's happening to us. When does the blame go on the hitting coach?
Good question. And it comes to what you think about a hitting coach in general. That's what it has to come to. At some point he's got to be held. Someone's got to be held accountable. But at the end of your at bat, it does come down to you as well. Yeah. They do hire and fire hitting coaches, so there are some judgment scales and report cards on hitting coaches. And quite frankly, I've never been able to figure it out.
I had to stop watching the last three games because I was so mad at the hitting, about the base being loaded. It's like, every time I see the base loaded, we don't do nothing.
No doubt. No doubt. It seems like that. It's a good question. I get it. All right, thank you. I get it, but it does come down to what you think a hitting coach is. What are you going to tell Ryan Braun?
Not much. He's been a professional hitter for, you know, forever. And, you know, I don't blame the hitting coach per se. You know, it hasn't gotten to that point. You know, the hitting coach didn't cause Jesus Aguilar to struggle for everything except, like, what, 10 games so far this season?
Yeah.
So, you know, the hitting coach isn't to blame for Mike Moustakas hitting, you know, terrible and Travis Shaw being terrible. And now, you know, with Shaw hitting so bad, now you got Keston Hiura. And yes, he's going to be a awesome player in the future. Right now, he looks kind of lost. So you can't put it all at his doorstep. But at the end of the day, you don't hit. He's the easiest guy to look at.
Wrench and go drive of the game in this one. You get to the ninth inning. You do have an opportunity. So when you say that it don't come through, well, Lorenzo Cain did come through.
Cain hits a bouncing ball over third and down the line to tie it. The Brewers living right here in the ninth inning. Second and third, still just one out, and the game is tied at three.
Yeah, that was a big, big-time hit. That's an understatement, but that was a big-time hit from Lorenzo Cain. It was. He came through right there as he ties the game up in the ninth inning. Couple of runners on, one out, runner at third with less than two outs. Boy, that's just been a bugaboo for the team this year.
Well, Cain, he was huge tonight. 3 for 5, scored a run, drove in a run. He did have a strikeout in a unfortunate situation there. But, you know, Cain's been great.
He has been. He's no complaints there. I mean, it's just overall, it just seems like they get a little tight. It just, again, they're 27 and 21. They get a little tight when there's traffic on the base pass. And they're going to get to a hot streak, guys. They are. They're going to get to a hot streak where they come up with those hits and they get the merry-go-round going. It'll happen. With a lineup like that, like I told you last segment here, when you think you're through the rough part of a Brewers lineup, then all of a sudden you need to face Mike Moustakas, Jesus Aguilar, Yasmani Grandal. Boom, boom, boom. Yeah, they'll come up. They'll come up big, and they will get hot. So hang in there for that. All right, Sam, you have that info on what the Brewers have done in Atlanta. Now, again, I don't know these numbers. It just appears to me that they have had some tough times in Atlanta.
Yeah, I feel like Atlanta's always been a tough place to play in for them, especially on the road. But I went all the way back to 2014, and in those 35 games since then, the Brewers are 15-20 against the Braves. At home, they're 8-9. On the road, they're 7-11.
Yeah, well, 7-11 then within that time frame?
Correct.
Seems a little worse than that, but okay. All right, they're going to have to scrape and scrap for a victory tomorrow to even up the road trip at 5-5. And obviously, they lost the series tonight with the loss tonight. Now, here's an example of tonight's game where I think David Stearns is really, in my eyes, in the spotlight here. This is going to be about David Stearns, the Brewers GM, that is just watching this whole thing. The pressure's on Stearns right now. The players, yeah, they got to come through. Craig Counsell's got to manage better. And again, we're splitting hairs at a high level, guys. You take any of the challenges that the Brewers have been through, including the rough schedule, and come out 27-21, you're in good shape.
Yeah.
Decent shape. You are. So we're again, the expectations are way up here. That's why we need to slice and dice this thing way up here. Okay, so I'm not saying the Brewers suck in any way. I'm just saying that they could and in some way should be better. This is a perfect example of tonight's game. You have a 2-1 lead, and it's the sixth inning. Now, the Braves have a runner at first, and there's nobody out because Matt Albers walked that man. Maybe the Braves play for a run right there and they bunt because they need to, they have to, because they know Josh Hader is going to be unleashed from that pen at any moment in time. They don't know when, but they know it's coming because there's a closer back there too. So now you don't know when this is coming. That is key here for the Brewers in 2019, guys. I cannot tell you enough how much that is key. I haven't felt this strongly about a Brewers topic in a long time. This team needs a closer. This is an example of a game that would have been played different by the opponent, knowing that Josh Hader could be out there. As soon as you make your move, Josh Hader's there to shut it down, just like last year. You didn't know if it was the fifth or the eighth or the sixth, and your head's spinning, trying to beat the scoreboard to Josh Hader.
Yeah.
And this was it. Alex Claudio, I think we all know, is not Josh Hader.
No. No.
Claudio gave up the two-run home run. That could have possibly have been Josh Hader in this game right there.
This is one of those games where you sit through it, you try to analyze it, and, you know, you're getting angry during the game and everything like that. Like the sixth inning, like you were talking about, you got a guy on because of an Albers walk, and then you bring in Claudio. It's one of those games where instead of Hader, you bring in Claudio, then you got Jeffress who goes an inning and two-thirds, and it was scoreless. He only gave up one hit. But if, you know, it's one of those where you just sit there and you think back to Corey Knebel. And, man, if we had just one more guy at the end of this bullpen, what a difference that would make. And now the Brewers are in good shape because you don't have to go out there and get Kimbrel because, you know, like, and we're going to talk about it here in a little bit, but Sam said it in his update, Jimmy Nelson's going to throw another start on Thursday, and after that, Craig Counsell said he's got to make a decision whether to bring him up. You know, he said Nelson's healthy, he feels well, he's progressing well, everything that the Brewers are looking for, Nelson is doing and is recovering from his starts, so it's basically time to throw him back into the rotation. So now you picked up Gio Gonzalez. You have Chase Anderson, who's still pitching solid in that starting rotation. Now you throw in Jimmy Nelson to go along with Chacin and Woodruff. Now you've got some trade chips, and I can understand that you might not want to move Corbin, but you've got Freddie Peralta that you might be able to deal for a closer, and I'm not saying he's going to get you, you know, the best closer in the game in a head-to-head trade, but you have guys that you could potentially move for a decent closer. I think the options are there. My concern is that I think that the Brewers and David Stearns are going to wait at least probably three or four starts once Nelson comes up to make sure that he handles being back in the big leagues, make sure that he can stay healthy before they're willing to trade any of these guys. And the help needs to come sooner than that.
It's just, to me, it's just night and day. The other teams are affected by the potential of Josh Hader being unleashed. They play the game differently.
They play the game scared.
Almost. You bet. And here's an example. Jake Arrieta talking about the Philadelphia series. His quote on Josh Hader: with Hader doing what he does late in a game, it was just a little too late for us to get it going. Knowing that Hader was out there, Jake Arrieta just referred to the way they look at that, that the game got too late, it got to Josh Hader territory, and it was over. Now you need to throw that question mark into the opponent on a nightly basis. Well, and that's what they did last year. That was a huge part of the success. We all know that. They all know that. Baseball knows that. I don't think Josh Hader is used to his potential. I don't. And you may disagree with me, and some people say, hey, man, lockdown closers are tough to get. Their part of deception is huge. It is huge, and we saw it last year. This is a game tonight, man. You could have seen Josh Hader and chew up the sixth and seventh innings. But you have to bridge the gap to the closer with a Josh Hader. Then you supplement with a Jeremy Jeffress, a Junior Guerra, a Matt Albers, an Alex Claudio. That's how you supplement to the closer, either before or after Hader. But Hader, when the game is on the line, sixth inning, fifth inning, eighth inning, who cares? The other guys know it. The other guys play their game a little bit differently. I believe the Braves may have played for a run in the sixth inning in this game tonight. I do. And we saw it last year. They reacted to the potential of Josh Hader coming in.
Yeah, and I wasn't always in your camp. Jeff. Yeah, I know. I wasn't in your camp the whole time. I'm definitely you're getting me to switch my position here. You know, I thought Hader was a phenomenal choice to be the closer and all that. Now I'm definitely changing my mind. I think just the threat of him in any inning from 5 to 9.
Yes.
Not only does it pucker up the other team and make them, you know, oh man, when's he coming? When's he coming?
Yep.
It also is going to help your offense because the opposing pitcher is then going to try to be perfect and, you know, they're going to try to hit the corners and sometimes they're going to miss and you're going to take more walks and you're going to see better pitches because the threat of Haterade is in the back of their minds, not knowing when he's going to come out.
Hey, man, it's just to me, it's a no-brainer. But what do I know, man? Seriously, it's a no-brainer to me.
And no, you've only been watching baseball for what? You know, 6 months, 7 months.
Hey, man, Hey, man, I know they're thinking about it. They'd be remiss if they weren't thinking about it. You can't get to Hader. Your style of game plays into Josh Hader. Your style of game does not play into just having a closer and then a bunch of normal bullpen guys. Your style of managing, Craig Counsell, your style plays right into having the gadget dude. And I don't mean gadget for Josh Hader in a negative connotation. Not at all. But that's the style you play, man. Short starts. Let's play this thing tight. And if you're going to manage, I remember last year, there was some confusion by me as to how to use Josh Hader. Now, I'd have used him a little bit different even last year, but he was used more to his potential last year than this year, certainly. They weren't going to use him. Even one run down, they weren't going to use him last year.
Right.
And, you know, this year they stayed with him in a tie game. They brought him out there in the tie game. They were going for the win in the 10th.
Yeah. Yeah, they were. And, you know, the reason why I sit there and one of the main reasons why I'm coming around to your side, Tim, is that you can't afford to have Josh Hader ride the pine for a week at a time in your bullpen.
No doubt. I mean, there's stretches he pitches like once every 6 days because you never get to him.
I know. You need him out there 3 times a week shutting down the opponent. And that's how you're going to use him the right way and get the most benefit for your baseball team. It's not having Hader sit out there eating sunflower seeds and chilling for, you know, 6 days at a time. You know, oh, yeah, well, his arm will be healthy for down the stretch. Well, come on, man. You know, all these games count the same. You need Hader 3-4 times a week to be throwing, and he's not doing that right now.
No, he's not. In fact, a little forward thinking brought to you by Forward Financial Partners at FFPWI.com. I'll go you one further here, and tonight was the night for me during the game. Tonight's the night you flipped Jeremy Jeffress and Josh Hader for me.
Yeah.
Now, a lot of people will disagree. JJ's not that ready yet, and he's still working on the velocity thing. And put the eye of the tiger back in JJ and flip him.
Well, you know,
flip him now.
Josh Hader has a 2.95 ERA. Jeremy Jeffress is 3.14. So they basically have the same ERA. JJ, 1 2/3, allowed only the one hit, and he did strike out too. Hader, you know, gave up the walk-off homer, and he struck out too. So, you know, they are basically mirror images of each other. And, you know, I agree with you, Tim. I would have flipped him today as well.
Think about it. 414-799-1250. Would you do that now and just go with JJ as the closer now and utilize Josh Hader when the game is really on the line. And Craig Counsell, guys, hey, Craig, tell your boss, David Stearns, you could have a save in the sixth inning. Remember those comments last year?
Absolutely.
You could have a save in the seventh or the eighth inning. Those are just important innings and outs as the back end. And I think at times they're more important because there's times you can't even get to your closer, man. It's just a wild thing that's going on now. Despite all of this, Brewers are 27-21. They have an opportunity to go 5-5 on this road trip. And that's 3 in Chicago, 4 in Philly, and then 3 here in Atlanta. It gets a little bit of a respite here with Cincinnati coming in for a couple of games. The off days are definitely going to help this team. There's no question about that. They are going to help. And then Philly's back, and Philly's no joke, guys, despite the Brewers taking 3 of 4 in Philly last week, earlier this week. They're tough, and they're going to be into Miller Park over the weekend. And then don't look now, but you've got a Minnesota Twins team after that. That's a really good baseball team.
First place, Minnesota Twins.
You think it gets easier. And then after that, don't look now, but you got those pesky Pittsburgh Pirates to play, who, by the way, I believe just jumped the St. Louis Cardinals.
Yes, they did. Again, you know, they kind of been seesawing back and forth in the standings with the Cardinals. Right now, the Pirates are in third. Well, you know, they've got a .002 better winning percentage. So both teams are 3.5 games back. Technically, Pittsburgh is above St. Louis.
Yeah, so things, man, they get maybe a tick easier, if you would. But would you flip that? Jeremy Jeffress is now your closer. Would you do that? Would you make that move? 414-799-1250. We'll take a break. Baby Shade and Blind postgame show presented by the Milwaukee Admirals. We are hashtag MillHockey. 10 innings. You thought you lost, and you thought you had a chance to steal the win, and you lost. 10 innings, 4-3. We'll be back on The Fan.
When you're hot, you're hot. When you're not, you're not. So when it comes to the crew, who's hot and who's not?
Yeah, 4-3, the final as the Brewers fall in this one. 10 innings, Josh Hader gives up the walk-off homer, and that's, man, those always hurt. All right, they're 27-21. Here in the championship season of 2019, one big-time decision to be made by David Stearns. Now, in the meantime, before you acquire a closer, because I truly believe they will, they should put JJ into the closer role. I'm ready for that. Is everybody ready for that? I know it's going to come with some opposition. I know some Brewers fans are going to say, hey, man, Jeremy, I just can't trust. Gave up the two-run home run the other day. And with the amount of innings that JJ has pitched, just remember ERAs can be volatile that way. You give up a run as a reliever. A lot of times when you just have a handful of appearances, that really affects it. You give up a two-run shot, it's really going to affect things. So just keep that in mind. But JJ's stuff, I think we can all agree, is coming back about there, is it not?
Yeah, it is. He's hitting some good numbers on the gun. And like you said, you got to remember that Jeffress is about a month behind everybody else. So when it comes to ERA, if Jeffress lets up a run, it's going to ding his ERA about three times as bad more than it is any other reliever in this Brewers bullpen. So he is still in the early stages of his 2019 campaign, where one run allowed will swing his ERA a ton.
Yeah, yeah, and so I'm ready to pull the trigger on that. You just are so nervous as a Brewers follower, a Brewers fan, analyst, a guy that's really nutty about the Brewers. Don't tell me you're not nervous as a fan when it's a 2-1 Brewers lead. And you've got, you know, a few innings to soak up here. A Junior Guerra, Alex Claudio. who, again, these numbers aren't bad. That's not what I'm saying. But you know the game can flip at any time. You want it to flip with a Alex Claudio, or you want it to flip with someone that just gets lucky off Hader. I mean, yeah. That's what it comes down to.
Well, you know, in a 2-1 game, I am not nervous when I know that I've got Jeffress, Guerra, and Hader. And obviously, you know, Hader gave up the walk-off tonight, so, but I don't care. If I'm nursing and hanging on for dear life to a 2-1 lead, knowing I have those three guys in my back pocket, I'm still confident.
Honestly, overall, I don't think Matt Albers has done that bad.
No, he hasn't. Matt Albers has been fine. And, you know, Matt Albers gave up that leadoff walk, but Alex Claudio was the one that served up that run, and Albers still gets charged for it. He gets charged for one. Claudio gets charged for one, but it wasn't Albers that served up that meatball.
And we haven't even really talked about Chase Anderson, who did pitch 4 innings of 1 unearned run baseball.
Yeah, you know, and Chase struggled tonight. He battled for those 4 innings. He walked 4 guys, and Chase hasn't been walking that many guys when he's been in the starting rotation this year, so that was something that was new. Now, he didn't allow a home run, so it seems like he's definitely cured from that disease that he had last season. But now, you know, he caught a little bit of the walk-itis, and he struggled, and his pitch count was outrageous early again, and you knew that the bullpen was going to get taxed today, and, you know, they just weren't able to close it out. You know, covering 6 innings is a big ask.
Who's hot, who's not? Once again tonight, brought to you by Bayview Shade and Blind, providing the highest quality window fashion since 1926. Find out more at BayviewShade.com. I have some interesting numbers on who's hot, who's not. Believe it or not, Yasmani Grandal.
Not hot.
Well, we're not talking offensive, believe it or not.
Oh, yeah, yeah, defensive numbers.
C-E-R-A, 4.8. That's 60th out of 81 catchers. So that's to qualifying catchers, he is ranked 42nd. So that moves him up just a little bit. So that would be in the not category for the most part. However, fielding percentage, 2nd in Major League Baseball.
Wow.
I find that hard to believe.
Yeah.
But it's true. .997, 2nd to Molina. Okay. Defensive run saved, -4. That's 4th among all catchers. So there's a who's hot. Defensively, I don't see it. I think it does come down to pitch calling. And it's tough to measure that. It's tough to get numbers on that. Who's going to grade pitch calling? You don't know what stuff the guy has. You don't know the splits the guy's against. You don't know if it's righty-righty, lefty-lefty. It's just how do you call a game? That's all gray. We can't measure that. So that's another conversation. But I wanted to throw that out there. There's who's hot, who's not. Brought to you by Bayview Shade and Blind. Craig Counsell, interesting comments. Let's hear some more after his team falls in 10 innings tonight, 4-3.
So, what's the skipper got to say about this game? Let's find out. Here's the scoop from the skipper on the only station Brewers fans need before and after the game. 105.7 FM, The Fan.
Yeah, it was a tough one. You thought it might be a loss because the Brewers' offense disappeared from the 3rd until the 9th inning, but then they mustered up a run. They picked themselves up off the mat and mustered up a run. Lorenzo Cain, an RBI double to tie the game in the 9th inning. And you thought they're in good shape right there with eventually they intentionally walked Christian Yelich and load the bases for Ryan Braun. Don't let him do it to you, Brawny. Come on, baby. And, they did it to you. Brawny struck out right there. And it just was a moment in this game. You're like, oh, boy. You get in play right there, you literally were going to win this game. You absolutely felt that.
Absolutely.
Brawny comes through with a sack fly right there. You are going to win this game. Or beats out a potential double play ground ball. I mean, that would be something to think about. That's a tough, tough strikeout for Ryan Braun. And then you end up losing in the 10th inning. I just wonder who would be the next man up after Josh Hader had he gotten through the 10th inning.
Well, maybe Braves. Craig will answer those questions here.
Let's hear him, Craig Counsell, after the loss.
Based on the last 2 weeks, are you sort of thinking ahead deep into the night in case that happens? You know, you played such long Saturday games.
We were in good shape with Freddie, obviously completely stretched out and kind of on a start day, so I wasn't worried about that. I think we were in a really good shape with the bullpen, really. In the end, we had enough offense. We didn't capitalize on our offensive opportunities. We pitched good, but we just enough offensive opportunities that we just left dry that it cost us in the end.
The other day, kind of like the bases loaded thing. I don't know if that you can specifically point to that as something to correct. You think that's just a quirk right now? Or?
Yeah, it's. I mean, it's not. It's just at bats, period, in those situations, and you got to cash in on them. I mean, those are the at bats that we want as hitters. You want as hitters is men on base and chance to do some damage and really impact the game. At bats where contact works, where just keeping the ball away from the third baseman works, and we just haven't, we haven't done that, and thus we've. Making it hard on ourselves.
Before Orlando came through with that single, just any hit had been hard to come by tonight against Gossman, their first relievers.
Yeah, I mean, the whatever inning it was, the third, I think, yeah. When we, second and third, nobody out, bases loaded, one out. That was a scoring opportunity. Didn't have much after that. I mean, we had an opportunity against Winkler with the leadoff walk. And then some good matchups there, but like I said, we just didn't cash in on our scoring chances.
You're encouraged by what you saw from Chase tonight?
Yeah, Chase pitched well. He pitched well. I mean, I thought he really got after it, and they made him work. A couple walks and stuff, but he kept making pitches. He kept making good pitches with men on scoring position. So he pitched well. He did a really nice job. The velocity was excellent. Good step forward.
There he is, Craig Counsell, after the Brewers 4-3 loss. He sounds like a beaten dog tonight.
He does. He does. He sounds tired.
Yep, he does sound tired. Knowing what I know about his sentiment and delivery, this is a game he wanted. Yeah, he wanted this one bad to even up the series. Here's why this is a big loss. It really is, guys. It's a big loss. Because it now sets you up to bail out on and come out 500 on the 10-game road trip. You win this ball game tonight, you got to pop at the series and the road trip with one game tomorrow, winner take all sort of deal.
Yeah, you could have done that, and you would have had a better excuse to roll out a Sunday lineup. Now you're in trouble or in danger of getting swept in this series. Coming back, not on that positive of a note on this 10-game road trip. And you got to be nervous whether you're going to throw a Sunday lineup out there or whether you're going to throw the big guns.
Going to hear from Lorenzo Cain. Had a nice night tonight, 3-for-5, knocked in a big run in the ninth inning. It is there's a guy you don't touch in the leadoff spot. Now, I know there's a lot of sentiment that is out there that says, well, maybe a leadoff hitter, and then you go Kane second, and then Yelich, and the more this moves on in Lorenzo Cain's career here in Milwaukee the second time, the more I'm starting to think, don't touch him. We'll hear from Lo Cain next here on The Fan.
Pitching is nearly everything in baseball, but it doesn't always go as planned. Let's see who got lit up tonight. Sponsored by Heiser Automotive. Today's your day. Online at Heiser.com.
All right, we're going to go back to last night because I wasn't working last night. And who got lit up? I'm assuming you guys talked about who got lit up, and that's one Corbin Burnes.
It got mentioned. Yes, it did. It sure did.
All right. Yeah, that was tough. In following the game from afar, it was difficult. But a nice comeback last night as the Brewers did fall 12-8 and come back the very next day, and they take a 2-0 lead. That's tonight. They take a 2-0 lead in the first inning. And then their offense just disappears for a while until the ninth inning, and Lorenzo Cain knocks in that run. But we got to go back to last night. Who got lit up? I can't really put anybody that got lit up onto the board here tonight in a 4-3 loss. Can you?
Well, you know, Claudio, one-third of an inning, two hits, including the go-ahead homer.
Candidate. Yeah.
You know, but besides him, no. You know, unless you want to throw Hader for serving up the walk-off. But, the only one that I would think would be Claudio. So, you know, Corbin Burns got just destroyed on an epic scale last night. Yeah, so he's definitely, you know, he could definitely be the two-day winner.
He wins the double prize in this one. But, yeah, it's tough. All right, well, let's hear from Lorenzo Cain here. Leader on the field, leader in the clubhouse. We all know that. And he had a nice night tonight, 3-for-5. Here's Locaine.
It's tough to make. Had a chance to drive runs in there. But as a team, as a whole, we didn't get it done. So got to bounce back tomorrow and be ready to go.
Looked like that first inning, you guys were poised for a big night. You scored the two, but then after that,
down on the board early. And after that, we just couldn't. You know, he kind of held a fort. We just couldn't figure him out after that. But like I said, he pitched great. We didn't get it done tonight. So, like I said, we got to bounce back, be ready to go tomorrow.
How big was Orlando's hit? It'd been that was the first hit since the third inning, just to break that ice a little bit.
Yeah, it's always huge. I mean, we can get guys on any way possible. You know, it's always nice. Get guys behind him to, you know, drive him in. So, him and I forgot who else got it started too. Those guys got started. And hopefully we were poised to kind of take the lead there, but, you know, had another situation where we just didn't get it done.
Yeah, there's Lorenzo Cain after the Brewers' 4-3 loss. And what can you say? That's the thing about these dudes. I love them. I love them because it's a daily grind in baseball. And they've, you know, he repeated himself two or three times there. And what else can you say, man? We all know what happened.
Yeah, we were all watching the same game.
You know, he's not going to give you any trade secrets. He's not going to break any news for you. He's not going to lose his mind. It's game, 48 of a 162? And he was right on, though. He wasn't mincing words. We didn't come through. And that's that. And they got to go back at it tomorrow. And they do. Well, this is a rough loss. This is one of the tougher losses for me of the season. What more can you? You can't go off on anybody in this one. I mean, Brawny was being a knucklehead tonight. I'll tell you that. I don't know what he was thinking there in the third inning. We all saw that play. But that's a play that you could, and I would disagree, but some people would say that, well, he's trying to be aggressive defensively.
Yeah, it was a bad play, you know. But then you had the two-base error by Moose. You know, there was a couple boneheaded decisions that got made. And, you know, Braun compounded it, and so did Moose. They both struck out. And Braun struck out twice in huge situations.
Yeah, late.
And, you know, Moose, he hit a rope, but it didn't get a run in and all that. So, you know, there were some stuff that needs to get cleaned up. The reason why Locaine is viewed as such a leader in the locker room is you have a tough loss like this and he gets out, thinks. And, you know, this, like you said, this was a kick in the gut kind of loss. And
a weird, weird season so far. It just is. It's a weird season that I think mere mortal teams would have folded up way before today.
Yeah, I agree.
With everything that's going on, this tells you how good, I keep saying it, this tells you how good they are. They're not playing good baseball overall, and they're winning at a decent clip. They are. and they'll get it together. There's going to have to be some corrections made. Correction of the game brought to you by Milwaukee County House of Correction. And I think it's the correction is going to come from David Stearns, or it's going to be from Craig Counsell when he flips JJ into the closer role. I do believe that's what I do. I wonder if they've had conversations about that. Because clearly Josh Hader is the closer, right? I mean, we all agree. We all know what's going on.
Right.
But is that the best case scenario for that team? For this team right now as we sit. Now, you can always adjust down the line. If you happen to get a Kimbrel, you pick up another, Joaquin Soria type at the deadline. You can always make changes at that point and readjust. But for now, I believe I want Josh Hader to be more impactful in a game. And not just to shoot to get to him, because closers have been known to dry up a little bit. And they were this close, guys. They were this close to that old adage in baseball. We needed to use them tonight, quote, just to get him some work.
Yeah.
You're this close to that with Josh Hader. You were. Now, again, you got to him tonight because, well, it was a tie game. You wanted to extend the game, which it did. And he did his job in the ninth inning. It did extend the game. But they were that – if he doesn't pitch tonight, they were in danger land of saying, hey, man, we're going to have to use him to get him some work here pretty quick.
Well, yeah, and that's why I want him out of the closer role, because I want them to use him without fail basically 3 to 4 times a week. Yeah. And if he's, in the back of the pen – where he's been all season, you go 6 days, you can go 5 days, and you don't get an appearance, and that is not using your best reliever to the best of his ability to help your baseball team win games.
It's a shame. The Corey Knebel injury is an absolute shame, man. It's becoming more and more devastating of an injury as we move along here in 2019. It just is not just... obviously for Corey and his arm health moving forward, but just the organization as a whole this year, the team itself, that's a far bigger hit than really anybody thought. And the JJ thing, that's going to correct itself, and it is correcting itself right now. In fact, I think it's about corrected. I do. I think we're seeing signs of Jeremy Jeffress being that guy that's passionate, that's mean mugging, and that's going out there and attacking. So let's maybe, after tonight's pitch, you make the switch maybe to JJ.
JJ is your closer? Maybe. Yeah, maybe.
There's the correction of the game that I would make moving forward here. We'll come back, preview tomorrow's final game of this 3-game set in Atlanta. Final game of a long 10-game road trip. That's next here on The Fan. And welcome back. Final couple of minutes here after a Brewers 4-3 defeat in 10 innings. Man, a tough one. They can get pretty tough. Josh Hader, a walk-off. He gives up the walk-off home run in this one to the Braves, as the Braves go up in the series 2-0, and it doesn't get a lot easier for tomorrow's game. It is posted a 12:20 start time. And that is Brandon Woodruff on the hill. This dude's been outstanding.
Yes, he has.
This guy's been way beyond what I had thought. Way, way beyond. And he wins the race between the Burns, Peralta, and Woodruff race to see who's good in the big leagues. Young dudes in the rotation. The other guys couldn't even stay in the rotation. So Brandon Woodruff gets to start tomorrow. Foltynewicz for the Braves, man. That's going to be a tough, tough customer tomorrow. I would say it's going to be low scoring, but every time I say that over the years, just bet the opposite.
Yeah.
Just go with the over, because you think it's going to be held down to a 2-1 type of game, and nah, it's like 8-6.
Yeah, that's when you get the slugfest. Yeah. And, you know, we'll see what kind of lineups both teams come out with tomorrow. And, you know, a lot could depend on that.
Overall, Brandon Woodruff this year, 6-1, a 3.72 earned run average. Last four starts, 4-0, 1.23, just three runs over 22 innings. His last six starts, 5-0 with a 2.70 ERA.
Yeah.
I mean, wow.
Yeah, wow is right. And,
I didn't realize those numbers were that good, though. I mean, you knew Woody was tough. But those are like almost elite numbers.
Yeah, he's been dealing. And, it's good to see, and it's good that at least one out of the three guys that you broke spring training with in your starting rotation has worked out.
Yeah.
And, I called it that Woodruff was going to be the most successful out of the three. And so far this season, it's played out that way. But, that was just luck. So yeah,
offense, this is one of those times of the years, and there's several, but this is one of them. And longtime listeners know that they've heard this from me before, but this is one of those days where you could really use just the offense to win one for you. Just go out and win one. Instead of this 4-3-10 innings, 2-1, 3-1, 3-2 game. Offense, just go do your thing and take the pressure off the pitching staff. Just tomorrow, and you'll have a nice flight home. You're staring into the barrel of an off day on Monday. You've got the Reds in for a quick little two-game set Tuesday, Wednesday. You got another off day. Boy, it really do your mental state really well.
Mm-hmm. I agree.
So go out offense, and you pick yourself back up after. You know, what really is I don't think it's quite a huge concern yet, but it's leaning that way. It is, and that's runners in scoring position. That's bases loaded situation, and really the rough one that comes into play. Who cares about first and second? When you get the runner at third with less than two out, that's a big, big thing, and that's really what I look at. The base is loaded, fine. But you have a runner at third, and there's none or one out. Oh, man, you got to start getting those guys in, and you're going to win a few more ball games. So that's going to do it for us here. Baby Shade and Blind postgame show presented by the Milwaukee Admirals. We are hashtag MilHockey. We'll meet you right here. Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin on deck.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.